Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, on this episode of the GH Report, Julian is gaslighting, Brad is sweating, Ava is committing herself, and we've got a whole new Nicholas Cassadon to tell you about. We're going to break it down next.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
I'm and back from the dead, wearing a tux. I'm Nicholas Cassadon. How do you do? Hey, everybody. Welcome to the GH Report, right here on AfterBuzz TV, bringing down all the shenanigans that happen in their report trials. I am Frank Moran.
I'm Carla Renata. That was bananas. I have come back from the dead wearing a tux. That was pure comedy right there. Oh, my God, that was funny.
He's rocking that tux.
Kelly Public Cover calling you out. She said, ooh, take two.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. Somebody, it happens. It's live. What can you do?
I just jumped away.
He just had like a major brain fart is what happened, but it's all good.
But you know what? Now we're here. We're all enjoying the remnants of that smelly mistake I did. And we'll push through it to deliver you the quality show that you deserve. So, as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and the chat is up and running, which means you are already in it, and you're sharing all these great thoughts.
Yes, Joe Costanza, Rena Sheen, I already called out my girl Kelly, Mary, DT Durr, Annie Gone, Lisa Wagner, Susan Russo, Sonia Coleman, and ZK, Marlon Wallace, welcome, and Loretta Johnson. Hey, y'all, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Look at that. So, folks, we'll be breaking down everything that's happened this week. But before we get in-depth on everything, Carla, what did you think of this week overall?
You know, I'm kind of glad that they didn't spend the whole week with reactions to the verdict with Franco, whatever you want to call him. I'm glad they just got right into that, you know, got into it and left it real quick.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't drag that out. I was very happy about that. But I did love that they brought Nicholas back. I did love that Nina had another moment, but I'm about tired of her popping off. And I kind of love the whole... I love the Halloween costumes. They had some cute little Halloween costumes.
Yeah, but then it's also you just smell the Disney-ness of it all. Like,
really? Toy Story.
Toy Story, Captain Marvel.
Oh, I didn't even look at it like that. I was like, oh, that's cute.
Cruella
DeVille. Oh, yeah. Okay, now that you bring it up. Yeah, okay. Like, I can see it now. But at first, I was like, oh, that's cute. That's cute how they did that and how they did that. And then I liked how Laura was like, was she supposed to be Queen Elizabeth? Who was she supposed to be?
I guess, maybe.
I think she was Queen Elizabeth. I liked her costume. I was not having... Who was Curtis and Jordan supposed to be?
Well, he was Sherlock Holmes.
I mean, I know, but like to get... like, who was she supposed to be? Was she supposed to be from Aladdin or something?
Like Princess Jasmine? I don't think so.
I could figure out who everybody was but her. I'm like, who is she supposed to be? Do y'all know who she was supposed to be? Let a sister know. Inquiring minds want to know. Because I was like, what is happening?
It's, you know, Halloween is always cool, I guess, because you can see, well, given, you know, Disney, you know, corporate overlord stuff aside, what the kind of costumes kind of reflect the characters.
Well, Cruella DeVille, obviously, with Ava. Like, yes. She totally is that.
And I can see Mr. Incredible for Jax.
And I can totally see Captain Marvel for Sasha, because what she did was kind of heroic. Cleopatra and Mark Antony was perfect for Nina and Valentine, because they're kind of like, they have that love-hate relationship, that toxic kind of love relationship. Yeah. So that was kind of on point.
I don't know if it surprised me though that Chase goes as Buzz Lightyear.
Right?
Like, I don't know why he didn't go as, I mean, because I guess in the Toy Story cartoons, Jesse and Buzz are kind of in a, sort of relationship.
Right.
But as a you know, I thought it'd be better as Woody. Because he's more the upstanding guy, not like kind of like the kind of doofus.
But he is a doofus, which is why he was in that costume.
You think he's a doofus?
Yes. He really? Is Keystone Cop all day long. Come on now.
I don't know.
He has glimpses of greatness, but come on. For the most part, he's Keystone. Remember when he first came on, he was always trying to arrest somebody, and it would always be a hot mess? True. Is Keystone Cop. He's clumsy, so there's that. Who else? Carly and Sunny didn't get dressed up this year. Who else was there? I was upset that Epiphany wasn't there. I'm like, where's Epiphany? She wasn't at the Halloween party. I'm going to get on my soapbox for like 2 seconds.
Oh, everybody get ready.
Let's just talk. How about when the kids got in trouble? Let's go to the storyline first. When the kids got in trouble for drinking on the Haunted Star, right? Everybody's parents got called. Everybody's parents got called, and everybody has some kind of reprimanding, except for Trina. Where's Trina's parents? Where are Trina's parents? She just kind of, you saw Dev get in trouble. You saw Joss get in trouble. You saw Cameron get in trouble. Trina, the only one that we didn't see what her circumstances or consequences were. I'm like, I'm going to need to see that.
Oh, no, it happened. It was just right off camera where, you know. Just no. She was just
I'm
right
not
there.
Having that. I'm like, ABC, I'm going to need you to show a black family. Come on now. Y'all act like Epiphany and Trina don't have no family members. That's getting on my nerves. Okay, I'm done.
You know, I mean, I can't think of the last time I ever saw Epiphany with Milo.
The last time they... But Milo's a boyfriend. I'm talking about family... The last time they showed Epiphany with family members is when they first brought her on GH. And they gave her a son, and they had her... And it was for the spinoff. What was that spinoff called? They did a spinoff of Poor Charlotte.
It was like General Hospital After Dark or whatever.
I forget what it was called, but they did a spinoff. I want to say it was Poor Charles, but I know that's wrong. But they had a spinoff of it, and on the spinoff, they had Billy Dee Williams playing Epiphany's boyfriend, and they had this other guy playing her son, and they just like disappeared, and we have not seen nary a family member since.
Well, the son died. He got killed because he was kind of involved with Jason and the Sonny's business.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, can we just somebody said hashtag where's Trina's family. Yes, we need to go on and be like hashtag where's Trina's family, because that's not okay. Like, come on now, y'all.
That's true.
Everybody else, we see some remnants of a family, a relative, something. Even Hayden got a sister. I'm just saying. They even hooked up Hayden with a sister. Can we just like see some family? They ain't got to be there all the time, but can we just see a mama, a daddy, or something?
Well, thank you for bringing up Billy Dee, though, because I had forgotten about him for a hot second.
Yeah,
though.
he played Epiphany's boyfriend on there,
Don't
Billy Dee. Which
spoil
I was
you.
Like, now Epiphany. I was like, now Billy Dee Williams, no, he about 40 years older than Epiphany, but okay, we gonna suspend disbelief on this one.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Billy Dee? 10-second tangent for a second.
Look, all I need for him to say ever, if I ever meet him in real life, ever, all I need for him to say for me is, do you want my arm to fall off? That's all I need from Lady Scenes of Blues. That's all I need him to say, and I'm good.
Yeah, all right.
Actually, oops, hello. I take that back. I actually did run into Billy Dee Williams in a grocery store one day.
Really? Was he buying some Colt 45?
He was in, he wasn't buying no Colt 45. He was in that that grocery store that's right across the street from the Directors Guild.
Okay.
I want to say it's Gelson's, but that's not what it is. But some she-she-foo-foo grocery store is right across the street from the Directors Guild on Sunset Boulevard. And I went in there because I wanted cherries, and I was told that grocery store had them. It was like in the middle of winter, and I really wanted some cherries. So I went in there to get these cherries, and I was in a hurry. I was flying through these aisles and stuff, and while I was flying through the aisles, I almost mowed down Billy Dee Williams trying to get to the checkout aisle. And I didn't realize who it was until he opened his mouth and talked. Like, I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mow you down. He said, that's all right, in that voice. And I was like, that voice sounds familiar. And then I turned back and looked. I'm like, dang, that is Billy Dee Williams. I should have been like, can you just say, do you want my arm to fall off? Can you just say that real quick for me in the grocery store? that would have been so wrong. But anyway, I digressed.
So we, as Carly mentioned there, we do start off the week with the verdict coming in that good old Franco can make his own decisions.
Right. Hold up. Yeah. Hold that thought once. So somebody, Marlon's like, Trina wasn't drinking. Yeah, Dev wasn't drinking either. But we still got to see his consequences continue.
That is absolutely correct. He got chewed out for just assisting.
He got chewed. They said that he was going to get in trouble just for being there. I'm like, yep. Okay, go on. So you were talking about the verdict.
Yes. So we get to see there. Elizabeth says, hey, okay, fine. You know, but before you leave town or whatever you're going to do, you got to come by and say goodbye to the family. If mm-hmm. you do that, I'll let you go.
Right.
And then we also see Drew saying, I give him the Heisman to Kim, saying, well, you got to get yourself together.
Living for that moment right there, because that doll, like, she really thought that they were going to walk off into the sunset. And I was like, in what world is that going to happen? When he sat in that courtroom and heard them say that she tried to have sex with him without his consent, that tells you everything you need to know. That tells you that this person is mentally unstable. And what is she going to do if you decide one day you don't want to relive these memories with her as Drew? You want to bounce someplace else. I feel like he kind of used her a little bit. Don't you feel like he kind of used her a little bit?
Drew?
I think he unconsciously used her because she's the one that got the lawyer. She was the one supporting him through the whole trial. And then once he got what he wanted, he was like, yeah, deuces.
I don't know if he was using. I mean, certainly that was. For somebody that is in such a weird situation, you are basically the memories of a man trapped in another person's body. Your only source of, like, kind of familiarity is this woman that you deeply loved. Mm-hmm. So I can see why it locks right onto her. Like, this is, I know this. I can get my bearings around this. But then, of course, through the course of the trial, when he hears all this stuff about Kim, and even Julian gave him the heads up about that, it's like, Kim's different than when you knew her. And he gets to hear all this stuff firsthand. It does. I gotta take a pause for a hot sec. You gotta figure it out. What's going on?
Right. Oh, they told me that the spinoff was called Night Shift.
That's right.
That's what it's called. Yeah, Night Shift. Billy Dee was in that, and he played a Pivney's boyfriend.
And they did that terrible storyline where Robert got cancer. I hated seeing Robert Scorpio in that storyline.
Yeah, they were doing a lot with Night Shift. I was like, I could never understand. I enjoyed it, and I watched every episode of it, and I still have it in my Apple TV. Yes, I do. I am a diehard. Look, I watched Port Charles because they did have a show called Port Charles.
That's true.
I watched Port Charles. I watched GH and I watched Night Shift. I don't know too many people that did all that, but I did it. Insty who. What I will say is, they were trying to make Night Shift a nighttime soap opera. They were trying to, like, move daytime into nighttime, kind of like the dynasties and all that. Mm-hmm. I think they were trying something experimental with that, and it didn't quite catch. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was before its time.
Yeah, it was.
So we also get out of that, too, where we're going to see a couple scenes with Scotty and Sonny, where Scotty just comes to the boxing ring.
I know. Scotty is just... Scotty was on one. He's like, you owe me a favor. I'm like, dude, calm down. You are doing way too much in this moment. You're just like, take a step back. Like, it's not going to happen. And I feel bad for Elizabeth because it's like, how are they going to recover from this? But maybe she'll recover with that new Nicholas that rolled back into town. I'm just like, you know, I don't know.
We also get to see Scotty not only have to deal with Sonny, but he also gives a nice right hook to Kevin.
Yes, in the courtroom, just like, pow! I was like, oh, wow, really? Because apparently, remember, there's this conversation that Cameron and Jason have on the balcony at Sonny's where, you know, Cameron basically is apologizing for popping off on Jason at the courtroom. And he's like, look, you know, it didn't matter what I said, it didn't matter what you said. What mattered is what Kevin said, because Kevin, of the three of us, is the medical professional. And so when he said what he said, that's why the decision was made the way that it was. So there's nothing to be sorry about, you know, there's nothing to apologize about. But he was right. But I love how they are really integrating Cameron into all these different adults' lives and having him have these discussions and these nice heart-to-heart conversations with all these different people, because it's giving him an opportunity to flex his acting muscles in a way that we haven't seen him before. Because when they first brought him on, we were just seeing this bratty kid, right? Mm-hmm. this bratty kid who was after Joss. That's all we knew about Cameron. He had the hots for Joss, and that was it. And so, and he was bratty. He was always getting into trouble, and that was his trajectory. And now we're starting to see somebody that has different, they're peeling back all the different layers of Cameron. So we're getting to see all these different emotions and personalities and sides of him that are actually quite refreshing.
No, it is. I mean, he's definitely grown on me. And for as much as, I mean, out of all the teenage characters currently, he's probably the one that I enjoy watching the most.
Mm-hmm.
Jocelyn, I mean, fine, but until I need to see her move past the grief with Oscar.
The Oscar thing. Yeah, I'm kind of like her having that moment about that watch.
Oh, boy.
I was just like, girl, get a life. But this is the thing. As much as that moment annoyed me, I understand why they put that in there. Because with grief, it does get to a point where you move on and you don't even realize you're moving on. So that was the moment for her. Like she had unconsciously started to grow and move from that moment in life by forgetting that watch. And it took her 3 days to figure it out. So she was unconsciously moving past there, but didn't realize it. And then once she realized that she was moving on, she was like, oh my God, what am I doing? What's happening? Like, I understand that, but I just felt like, I feel like with her, sometimes they write it so over the top for her. I just wish it was more grounded. I just wish that those moments for her at this point were a little more grounded than they're coming off right now.
It's... interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is an interesting social dynamic between the four teenagers, because we really kind of saw it played out this week. Is that Jocelyn is still kind of wrestling with her feelings about Oscar, but Cameron's always carried a torch for Jocelyn,
right? And then Dev is carrying a torch for Jocelyn, and yeah. Trina is carrying a torch for Dev. I'm like, ooh, it's an interesting little dynamic. But I was like, why they make Trina so aggressive? She just like went in for the kill.
I appreciate that.
I was like, wow. Okay. I know her mother in real life. I know her mom was like, okay, now. I know her mom was like this up on that little boy. I was like, oh no.
Interesting question though for Trina, and I don't know if I've never encountered that, said it or had it said to me. It's that if somebody expresses interest in you, it's like, oh no, I don't like you in that way. Just knowing, is it me or are you interested in somebody else? I'm like, oh,
well, that was
all right.
I know that was smart. Like smart, yeah. In that moment, she showed she was a smart cookie. She's like, okay, I can get with the fact that you ain't necessarily into me, but who are you into? Like, who is it?
Yeah.
When he tells her it's Joss, it's gonna be a problem.
Do you feel like that she deserves an answer? I mean, is it any of her business to know who he likes?
Look. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but what I would say is if somebody point blank asks you a question, then they expect a point blank answer. And clearly, you know, she a shoot from the hip kind of chick. So if she's gonna ask you, clearly she thinks that she can handle whatever that answer is gonna be. Cause she is not, that character has not proven to be somebody that's unstable or reacts irrationally. So I'm guessing that if she asked that question, she really wants to know. I mean, she's a smart cookie. Look at how she handled that whole situation with Ava at the art gallery and trying to get that job. She's not stupid, so.
Very true. You do get to see Cameron's little bit of disappointment when they were leaning out there as by the haunted star. And Joss is like, oh, yeah, it's all about you. You're such a great friend. Friend.
I know, it was like magnified. Yeah. It was like Cameron echoed. And he was just like, ah. He was just like, just kill me, no.
We also get to see Hot Teacher and Lulu at the party.
Playing. Yes, Mary Poppins and oh God, what's the guy's name? It's with a D. I forget. Not Dick Van Dyke, but his character's name is with a D. Anywho, Chimney Dude. I'm just gonna call him Chimney Dude. That actually was a nice little costume for both of them. He looked a little awkward in his costume though, didn't he? He looked uncomfortably stiff. It was weird. Like, what's happening with him? But I kind of like Lulu as Mary Poppins. Like, that was perfect for her.
And I feel like this is the first episode where we get a little slice, little peek into Derek's life when he says that line to its you know, life had I had to make certain choices.
Yeah, he said something like, I had expectations for my life, but life had different expectations for me, or something along those lines. I was like, ooh.
So I'm like, dun, all right. Dun, dun. Yes. I feel like, all right, we're teeing up something coming up.
I was waiting for the music. I'm like, ooh, okay, well, that's intriguing. Oh, and you know what else was intriguing? Was finding out that Cassandra is turning out to be Sam's cellmate. I'm like, ooh, this is going to be real interesting.
It was one of those that as soon as it revealed, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. How could I forget that Cassandra
I had forgotten about her until that moment. I was like, ooh, this is going to be good. Can't wait to see how this one plays out.
Yeah. And
because Sam will come for you. Sam was like, mm-mm. You don't want to mess. Sam basically said to her, you don't want to mess with me. I'm not the one. Like, she let her have it. I was like, oh.
And I already like that she pulled out, like, her little shiv on Sam.
It's like, dog, it's Sam. You really, please. Mm-mm. That will do nothing. Nothing. Oh, wait. And then let's talk about Lucas and Brad for a second. Because I'm like, I'm going to need Lucas to calm down. Because he just is, what's the word? He's just as much of a nervous wreck as Brad is. Especially when it comes to him thinking Brad is having an affair. But the part that I love about all that is that Julian is masterminding all of that. He's like puppets, he's like pulling the puppet strings, trying to get Brad, he's basically trying to get Brad distracted so that he won't have time to be doing all these other little shenanigans that he's been involved in.
Do you think it's that? I mean, because I feel like he wants to cut Brad out of the equation.
You think that Lucas will kick him to the curb?
I think that's the case where Julian's teeing it up in such a way to say, Brad's got problems back. Brad's got problems. He's making it seem to Lucas that, hey, it looks like, you know, Brad's having an affair. He's got flowers coming to him. He's got a naked photo of a dude coming to him.
That was kind of extreme. I thought, oh, I'm like, oh, y'all are really going in. And my boy behind the bar is like flipping and carting, counting the cash. I'm like, oh, no. It's just all so sinister, but it's hilarious all at the same time. And I'm just like, I feel like all of that is a disaster because once Lucas finds out that Julian is behind it, then him and Julian might be, you know, in disrepair again. Mm-hmm. But when he finds out about that, when he finds out about how he was helping Brad to have people not find out about Wiley, like, all of that stuff has the possibility of blowing up. And right now, I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out. But I love the fact that they're, like, throwing all these balls up in the air and we don't know where they're going to land or how they're going to land or who's going to, or when they hit the ground, which one is going to explode and how it's going to affect what person. I kind of love that.
Yeah, Brad, I would love to know more about Julian's plan. Is it to then make Lucas say, all right, Brad, I want a divorce? So then Brad, because if they go into a divorce, they still have Wiley to share between the two of them.
They find out Wiley really belongs to Michael.
True, but is the idea that Julian just wants to get Brad out and say, like, hey, Lucas, you know what? You should just sue for sole custody and just get Brad and just push Brad on the outs so that he doesn't have to worry about anything.
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure. But this is great that they're writing it in that way where we're sitting here having this discussion going, well, what about this happening? Or what if this happens? Like, that's really, really great. You know what else is great?
Lay it on me, Carla.
There are 50 days until Christmas. Did you know that, Frank?
What?
Yes, child. But if you're already feeling the holiday spirit, you don't need to wait that long. Kick off the Christmas season with the world's first Christmas Con presented by That's For Entertainment on November 8th through November 10th in Edison, New Jersey, right outside of Nueva York, my favorite place, New York City. Uh-huh. There will be appearances by, are you ready, y'all? Let me crack my neck. Chad Michael Murphy, Danica McKellar, and for you Mean Girls fans, Gretchen and Aaron themselves, Lacey Chabert and Jonathan Bennett. Fetch! This will also be Gingerbread Wars and an Ugly Sweater Contest. Ooh, I would not want to be a part of that. We, meaning AfterBuzz, will be providing coverage and interviews right here, so make sure that you tune in. And again, that is November 8th through the 10th. And in the meantime, check out our, meaning AfterBuzz TV, Christmas 24/7 network, where we're bringing you lots of Christmas coverage, including top celebrations, tips, and holiday traditions from around the world. New shows every week hosted by our own JLJ, James Lott Jr.
That's true. The super organizer in the house.
Yes.
And you have a very festive holiday season.
Yes.
And organized as well.
Yes. Of course. Yes, it's a commercial. Y'all get over it. They're like, commercial, commercial. I'm like, yes, it's a commercial. But it's a good one. It's about Christmas. Everybody loves Christmas, right?
Sure.
Okay, I can't with you. I cannot.
I get plenty of lumps of coal in my stocking.
I cannot. You know what else I wanted to talk about, which was a really moving moment for me, when Nicholas reveals himself to Ava, and then he kind of disappears, right?
Right.
And then Laura comes in, and Ava's like, he was here, he was here. And Laura's crying, and she's all emotional. She's like, girl, you need help. Let me help you. Help yourself. And then the next thing you see, they're all at Shady Brook, and she's taking off her Cruella De Vil jewelry and everything, and they're helping her check in the Shady Brook. I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. Is she going to crack up? Is somebody that has something to do with Ryan going to find out she's in Shady Brook? Is she going to break out of Shady Brook? Is the truth going to come out sooner than later about Nicholas being back? Because Hayden and Jax have already discovered that he's back. So I'm really interested to see how all of this is going to play out and how it's ultimately going to affect Ava in the long run.
Yeah, I was reading a lot online about people really excited that Ava had somebody there to support her. Mm-hmm. Another woman that could be there to support. And that it was Laura with her history of dealing with mental illness.
Yes.
Could be a part of support.
I enjoyed that as well, because I think of all the people that could have said that to her in that moment, I thought that Laura was a great choice for that. I thought Laura Collins was a great choice for that, because she was mentally ill. She had been in Shady Brook for a while. She was there. So it was good. And it was good that she called Julian, and so that it wasn't just her taking her to Shady Brook. It was her and her brother. And I peeped this too. When they went to hug right before they took her back, the hug that she gave Julian was one of those please don't leave me here kind of hugs, as opposed to the hug she gave to Laura was like, thank you, I appreciate you. But it wasn't as strong, and it wasn't as intense as the one she had with her brother. That Mara West, man, she acts her booty off. She's so good. Like, she takes something that hug is such a simple thing, but she took something that is so simple and made huge meaning out of it that was just, it's just bubbling under the surface. She's so good. I love her. I really hope that they don't send her to Shady Brook and they just kind of leave her there, and Ava Jerome comes back as somebody else, because I really love her playing Ava.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with her, because can Ava be redeemed to you as
no,
a character?
No. Ava is one of those characters, you know, she has redeeming qualities and redeeming moments, but she will never completely be that person that's going to be a goody two-shoes, because how boring would that be for her? Like, she just can't do it. She's proven that time and time again. It's just not in her DNA to be that person. She just can't do it.
But I also feel like could part of it, whether she becomes like a goody-goody person, but I also feel like Ava has, I mean, and we've seen her, because she's great at it, she will deny, mm-hmm. and never really deal with some of the realities of the things that she's done. She'll always pass it off.
She's one of those people that it's never her fault. It's always somebody else's fault as the reason why she made the decision that she made, or why she did what she did. Like, even when she stabbed Ryan, it wasn't her fault that she stabbed Ryan. Ryan coerced her into stabbing him. So if he hadn't coerced her, then she wouldn't have stabbed him. You know what I mean? It's always somebody else's fault. There are people in the world like that. They just annoy me when they do that. When they're just like, nothing is ever their fault. It's always somebody else's issue, or it's always somebody else's reason why you did what you did. You have your own mind and your own thought process. So at the end of the day, you are in control of your faculties and how you choose to play them out.
Yeah, I would actually be curious to see her confront, and you know, just with herself, some of the things mm-hmm. she's done, from killing Connie mm-hmm. to everything that went on with Morgan to mm-hmm. her relationship
with
Nicholas.
Because with Nicholas, she says that she watched him get Valentine killed. I think Valentine killed him. No, mm-hmm. Valentine killed him, and he watched him, and she watched him flip off the bridge. So it's like, whenever somebody flip off that bridge, you know they're not really gone. Because remember, Ryan flipped off the bridge and he came back with one hand. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I am excited about that. I mean, and that brings up to our boy. We've got a new Nicholas Cassadine.
I know.
Running around. I mean, this is a character that's been kind of talked about. I mean, they've kept this character alive just by name-checking him you know, ever since he went left the show.
Yep.
We had Nicholas Sabine and then Tyler Christopher before that playing.
But you know what was smart about the way General Hospital handled this young man coming in to play him? They had him do a video and they had him post it up on Twitter about him coming in to play Nicholas Cassadine and how excited he is. And I thought that's really smart because they know better than anybody that the GH fans would have gone off. And I think that they were trying to, like, control the narrative, so to speak, by him introducing himself as opposed to us just looking up on the TV one day and them saying the role of Nicholas Cassadine is now being played. You know what I mean? So I thought that was really smart on General Hospital on their part to introduce him in that fashion.
It's, yeah, I mean, I'm fine. As much as I think people would be excited to have Tyler Christopher back.
Somebody said, I want a Tyler hologram. Malcolm Adderley is like, I want a Tyler hologram.
You know, I mean, he certainly looks the part. We really didn't get to see much from him performance-wise this week. So I'll be really looking forward to next week to kind of see what his take on Nicholas is.
Because this week we just saw him in a mask and in a tux, and he didn't really say anything. Did he ever talk? I don't recall him talking.
Well, he said his name to Ava.
And that was it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I will be very curious about why, because, I mean, Nicholas and Jax's relationship history is not very friendly. So what this is, what it is that's making the two of them, at least temporarily, work together.
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a really good question.
I mean, is Spencer enough? I mean, because I know, I mean, Spencer.
I need for Spencer to show his face because it's been too long.
Well, you know that's coming at some point.
I need for Spencer to show up because, you know, Spencer seems to be the missing piece or the missing link in this whole situation that they're dealing with. It was Spencer and Nicholas. And I think maybe Spencer knows that Nicholas is alive. You think he knows?
I don't know. I mean, it's because that is one heck of a thing to do, to let your son think that you're dead.
Yeah, I think that Spencer knows. I think curious. The only person that didn't know that's related is Laura.
And Lulu. Yeah, that is one thing. Because I did like Laura saying to Ava, it's like, you know, if he was at that party, I was at that party. He would talk to me. And Laura did run into him.
She did. Saw him with the mask on. And this is the thing that I caught. When her and Ava are having a conversation, she's like, well, he had on a mask. Ava's like, he had on a mask. But Laura didn't catch. Because in Laura's mind, well, lots of people had on masks. No, they didn't. He was the only person running around that party in a mask.
Yeah, I did like that she says the description vague enough that Laura will not give it a moment's notice.
Right.
Because she did have an interaction with him for a little
bit.
Right,
she did.
If she had been detailed about what
he was
wearing.
She bumped right into him,
She would have been like, oh, wait, yeah, I did bump into that guy.
She bumped right into him. You know what else was interesting about that party was the whole interchange between Nina and Valentine and Sasha and Michael, like that whole situation. So there was that moment between Michael and Valentine. There was a moment with Sasha and Nina. And then there was a moment with the four of them together. And then after Nina says, I'm going to drop the charges, that four of them embrace on opposite sides of the room. And then you have Sasha and Valentine locking eyes and looking at each other. I wish Sasha would drop him like a bad habit. I wish she would just drop a dime on him so quick, fast, and in a hurry. I just need for him to go down. Because what he did is just despicable.
Yeah.
It's just despicable what he did. And I hate that she keeps... I'm like, why are you protecting him? Even Michael's like, why are you protecting him? Like, really? Like, why? What could you possibly stand? And she was like, I guess she... And it's like she said... I guess she feels like there was so much hurt that she brought to Nina by pretending to be her daughter for a year that all she wants is for Nina to find some type of happiness somewhere. But I don't think she's ever going to find the happiness that she seeks with Valentine because Valentine's just a big old liar.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's, again, lying to get out of any responsibility for this, it's like, man, dude, that's not going to last forever. And I feel like we've talked about it, that Nina seems to be wise to that. But she is really slow playing it, too.
I know. I'm like, I cannot wait to see what the plan is revealed for her to take him down because you know she got something. And maybe this whole act of her hating Sasha is part of her plan to kind of take him down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also liked the interaction. I love that Hayden finally told Elizabeth that she has a niece and Elizabeth invited them to come stay. I also love how there was one episode where it opened with Finn talking to Violet. That little girl is just so cute and yummy. She is the cutest little kid. And she can act her little buns off. Besides being cute, I'd love to know where she came from and what her dealio is. But she's cute. And I love that he is embracing it. And I don't know if they actually made a decision to not tell her that that's her dad.
Yeah, I mean, at least it hasn't happened on camera yet.
Yeah, but it seems like maybe Hayden and Finn have come to the agreement that they're not going to tell Violet that that's her dad right now, because it would be a conflict of interest in him treating her if that was the case.
Well, he's just kind of just there. I mean, because we have the other pediatrician kind of treating her.
So, yeah, I love the moments that he has with her. They're so cute. Like, when he gave her the chocolate and it was Halloween and she couldn't trick-or-treat, I'm like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I mean, look at him go. I mean, it's...
When Anna come back, it's going to be shenanigans. For real. It's going to be off and crack-a-lack, and I cannot wait.
Just come back, Anna. Please come back. We need you.
When's she coming back?
She said
something online, but she didn't say when she was coming back, but she posted something online that I saw. I was like, I wanted to say, Finola Hughes, where you at? Where you be? When you coming back, girl? What's happening? What's going down? Let me know. Inquiring minds want to know. Stop laughing at me, Frank. You ain't right.
So... We also get to circle back to a hot second for Jocelyn, Sonny, and Carly, and Jax. Mm. We get to see some post imbibing of what happened with Jocelyn and Cameron. Cameron has to spend the night at General Hospital with Elizabeth.
Rob, that was hilarious.
But then we do get to see a conversation right next to the toilet, because that's where you want to have the best heart to hearts with Carly and Jocelyn.
I know. Oh, my God. There was something else that happened that I wanted to talk about. Oh, the whole situation with TJ telling Jordan that he wanted to ask Molly to marry him, and how she was not very happy about that news. She was like, no. But I was like, for me, that seemed to kind of come out of nowhere, really. Did it feel like that to you? Because we don't see them that often on camera, so... We see them enough, and we see them together, and we know that they've been together since high school. But for him to go from that to wanting to marry her, so Jordan was kind of... I was there with Jordan when she was like, you might want to date some other people. Like, this is the only person you've known. You don't want to, like the fact that she was encouraging her son to sow his wild oats, so to speak, wasn't a bad move, because it's like... How can you be that sure? She basically reacted the way that she did, because she doesn't want him to make the same mistake that she made when she married Tommy. So,
I mean,
I get it, but I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's such a mixture of a parent not wanting a child to repeat their mistakes.
Exactly.
But then also, it's like but he's his own person, and at their high school sweethearts can stay together forever. And they can just as easily split apart, too.
That's true.
There's no certain outcome for that.
That's true. And then we see Alexis passed out cold and Molly finding her and taking her to the hospital. And at first we think, she just has flu symptoms. But then she opens the palm of her hands.
Those itchy palms.
And she's got these rashes on the palms of her hands and apparently on the bottom of her feet. And they're like blistery almost, the way that they looked on camera. So I wonder if that has to be as a result of that stuff that she's been drinking, right?
That is. Now, before we dive further into Alexis, I will ask Tia and Molly.
TJ.
TJ and Molly. Should they get married?
No. I'm with Jordan. I feel like, maybe he should date some other people. But it's like, who else is left to date? Trina? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's nobody on the show currently, so either they'd have to bring in new people, or they're I'm going to take a trip around the world for a little bit, or I'm getting an internship at this hospital across country.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Like, is he really going to, or is him asking her to marry him now going to be delayed as a result of what's going on with her mom?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So we do get to see Alexis brought in. And I know people are commenting on Twitter that Molly is spending too long outside of Alexis's house, like knocking on the door. Knock, 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 knock.
I know. I saw that. People were not happy. They were like, why is she out there? I'm like, yeah, that was a lot.
But it's also weird to me, too, because I'm thinking, Well, I mean, it's not her house, but she is her daughter.
Don't she have a key?
She does have a key, and she pulled it out and she got in. But I'm also thinking, like, can't you just do that all the time? I mean, you don't have to knock to come into your mom's house, do you?
Well, to be fair, if her mama was up in there with some shenanigans going on, you opening the key ain't enough time for people to run or react. If you knock on the door, then that gives folk enough time to say, hold on, don't come in just yet. Okay, you can come in. You know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, it's always tough with that etiquette. What is the when do you have to start knocking on either your child's home or your parents' home?
I can speak to that directly because my mother lives with me. So more often than not, when my mother first came to live with me, she would just walk in my room. And I'm just like, you can't just walk up in here. I'm going to need you to knock on the door. You can't just be like she literally would just open the door and be like, Carla, da-da-da-da. I'm like, Ma, really? Can you just, like, knock on the door and let me know you coming in? Like, what's up?
I got to get my freak on.
It wasn't even that. It's just a privacy thing. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just a privacy thing. So at first, I would just, you know, I would be like, can you knock? And then I would be like, I would have to, a couple of times, I literally had to put the lock on the door. Because sometimes she would forget, and she would just go to open the doorknob. And I had to lock it. She's like, why are you locking the door? I'm like, because I need for you to respect the privacy. Respect the privacy. So now she got the hint. And now she'll always knock, and she'll wait for me to respond before she opens the door. Now, mind you, she only going to wait for me to respond for so long because, you know, if something has gone terribly awry, she ain't just going to stand on the other side of the door forever. So there's that. But I understand that. Like, I understand just not rolling up into somebody's house. Like, nobody wants that when you grown.
You know.
I'm just saying. That's a lot.
I will say one shot that I'm really tired of and I don't need to see anymore at all is the shot of the trainer hanging out by her brother Kiefer's gravesite, saying, oh, Alexis is going to get it down, washing and pour the poison and the protein.
Okay, when she did that the second time, I laughed out loud because I remember when we talked about this before, you were like, who does that out in public? And when she did it, I almost called you and was like, did you see that? Did you see that?
Like, what is this?
I laughed out loud. I thought about you and I hollered. I was like, oh, man. It was pure comedy. It really was. Yeah. It was pure comedy.
Oh, and then we get to see the scene of her trying to fool Alexis by, like, I'll take some of that powder as well, and then just dumping it out, and then, like, but halfway, and then coming back, and then dumping the rest of it out.
And then, yeah, she doing too. But I'm just like, first of all, it looked like the muddy Mississippi River water. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be drinking anything that was brown.
Yeah.
Like, can we have, like, a vanilla shake or some strawberry? Like, and if it's chocolate, can it not be looking like muddy Mississippi water? Yeah. I'm just saying.
Just like a bunch of poop water. That's what it looked like, Carla. It's like poop water.
I hate you so much.
then we just see, like, ridiculous thing at the Metro Court when Molly goes over to the trainer, like, sees her, goes, oh, hey, just so you know, my mom's in the hospital, but don't worry. She's got one of the finest, doctors working on her right now. So I'm like, oh, okay.
I can't.
Molly just giving her lots of...
way too much information.
Yes.
She's just giving her way too much information. It's like, fool, she the one that poisoned your mama. Why are you... And you just met her. Like, why are you giving her... Oh, I can't.
Just gotta tell her whole life story.
Just... Why are you giving her way too much information? Like, why are you doing all that? I can't.
And speaking of Molly, too, we have... And I guess hopefully this is going to start heating up now that Nicholas is back. But we have really seen zero progress of Molly working at all on her Cassadine story.
Right?
Like
she talked about it and then it just like stopped happening. Like, that's a good point.
I assume she's working on it off camera. Okay, great.
I hate you right now.
And then, of course, we also have your boy Peter August. So happy now that the trial went Drew's way.
And Maxie went in on him. She was like, what is, she's like, really? Is this story that important? Like, what the hell? She went in on him. I was like, oh, Maxie gonna dropkick him in a minute. He better watch his step.
That's true. So, folks, we got a little bit of news and gossip to round up the show.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Now, I know you're all wondering, like, oh my gosh, you know, Michael E. Knight looking so great with his, that silver fox. The super smooth skin. Crushing there is lawyer Martin Gray. Like, oh, is this just for a few episodes and then he's going to be done? Well, nope, he's going to be sticking around for longer.
Hercules. I saw him leave and I was so sad. I'm like, no.
I did like that. And you can tell, like, it's the days where they, you know, soap operas, they don't have the time right now to do the retakes. We don't have time to reshoot this. But when he walks out of that courtroom and he just clunks his briefcase into the doors that swing in, it's so, ungraceful. I'm like, that, if you had the time back in the day, they're like, let's just do that one more time, Michael.
No, they don't never. They don't ever. No, not on those soaps. They do. Oftentimes, they tape the rehearsal.
Yeah.
They'll go, okay, let's rehearse this, and we might tape it and move on. And then they always tape it and move on.
Yeah, it was just like, clunk. I'm like, sorry. Yeah, but he's going to be sticking around, so that's going to be great news. I'll be curious to see what storylines he gets involved in.
Mm. Ooh, who could he? Maybe him and Ava will hook up.
I'd be down for that.
She needs somebody that's dastardly. He's kind of dastardly different kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
But in a legal kind of way.
That's true. Mm, there you go.
That might be a good mix for her.
That's right. Like, legal on the streets, a freak in the sheets,
What is up with you? Stop it.
I don't know. Just trying that. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. Holy cow.
Wow.
We raced right through it there. Time flies when you're having fun breaking down this ridiculous show.
I know, right?
As always, though, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat.
Yes, we love everybody that was in the chat. It's so many of you. It's about 60 today.
Holy cow.
Thank you for spending
your Sunday with us. As always, folks, if you want to stay in touch with either one of us, and mostly with Carla, because she's got lots of stuff happening. I have zero happening. Zero happening.
Not true. Oh,
God. Carla, where can they find you?
You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can find me at BHL on The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata right before the GH Report. On Monday nights, you can find me right back here at AfterBuzz TV doing the Dancing with the Stars after show. And you can find me hosting the Focus Feature Harriet edition of the film Harriet on YouTube and Facebook right now.
And, you know, we started it with a brain fart. We ended it with one. So that was great. We kind of rounded it all out. But Carla, what about Thursday nights?
Oh, Thursday night, Superstore, NBC.
Look at that. I love it. Me, I got nothing, guys. I told you that already. I got nothing. But follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Big thanks to Josh for making us look so good and sound even better. Thank you, buddy. Well, until next Sunday, we'll see you right back here with another episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye-bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.